listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to today's edition of LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life, the show designed to help you create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I have magic people coming, a magic guest today, the triple threat, Magic Matt Markell. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It is an absolute pleasure to be here. I wish I had more tricks that I could do with the magic. I don't know, I could maybe make something disappear, but this is... No, as I was saying earlier, Kellen, I'm super excited to be here. Love the show, and it's an honor for me to be on it.
Well, you're just welcome. But the magic you're going to create is the magic of mastery, the magic of creation. So I'm going to ask you a question that if you've listened to a bunch of episodes, you've probably heard me ask before. And I know a little bit about you because we've had a chance to talk. And I'm not going to give a big splashy intro because I like those things to sort of come out during our conversation. So without being modest at all, please, and I know that you have all kinds of things that you could talk about, I want you to tell my audience how Matt has made a choice to add good to the world.
Oh, that is exactly what I try to do every single day, is to think about how can I be my best self and how can I do as much as I possibly can with what I've been given. You know, Kellen, when we think about it, we've all been given a ton of blessings. The trick is just realizing what all that we have. And I'm not going to say that I've been able to master that throughout all of my life, but recently to realize all the blessings that we have and just live with a life of gratitude and bring that forward in all my interactions with everybody, that's been like the real ticket for me.
So I want you to be more specific about things that you are doing. Because you're right. We don't. We by and large, and I'm not trying to speak to anyone in particular, we live in a swamp. And the swamp is learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, and victim mindset. And we don't have to live there, but we do. And you don't. And I want you to tell us specifically, what are the things that you have chosen to do that add good, joy, happiness, success to the world? What are the things that you do that?
So there's kind of two aspects of what I do during most days. One is in my role as a C-suite executive for a defense company in Los Angeles. I'm not going to talk about that. There's are lots of things that we can bring to bear on that. But the idea of like that's helping to run a business and bringing all the good stuff that I can to helping that business be successful and complete our mission of helping make our nation and our warfighters more successful. The thing that I do want to talk about, and I think this is really getting at the crux of your question, is I have lived myself for a long time missing out on a major aspect of what really brings happiness to people, and that is financial independence and financial security. And what I mean by that specifically is we start off, we get a degree, I get an engineering degree, start working, and it's all about your career. And you think if you just work hard at your career, everything's going to be fine. And it turns out that that's not necessarily the case, that we can't abdicate the responsibility of our financial situation to a retirement plan at work or to, for gosh sakes, to a Social Security plan or to anything like that. We need to take control of that. And that's what I've been having so much excitement teaching that message and sharing that message with others. For those of us that are working for a company, working as a W-2 employee in the United States, we often think just about the career and improving ourselves there, but we miss out on the other part of our job, which is making sure that we dedicate time to ensure that we have financial independence and financial success. And sharing that message with others is how I give that forward.
I love that. So let's talk about that. What infects us almost from the cradle that makes us believe the lie or the story that isn't really true, that the machine, the corporate thing, you grow up, get an education, get a job, go jump in the machine as a cog somewhere, that that's somehow going to take care of you and give you everything you need, both financially and fulfillment-wise. Like, what happened? Because you and I have wondered that thing. It took me a lot longer to figure that out than you, so good for you on that. But what happened that we are infected with that?
It's, if you think about what we can talk about at the workplace today, right? I think back to like the 1800s. 1800s, I will probably not have made it as a worker. And statistically, you might not have either, because the fatality rate at work was 17 times higher than what it is today. But with each generation, we've gotten better and better at the workplace. So we've gone from, you know, dying in a fire or with because of an unsafe machine or due to toxins like asbestos in the workplace in the 1800s. Every generation gets better. We now have an 8-hour workday. We have laws that prevent child labor. We have the 40-hour work week, and we have Equal Pay Act. So all these things keep making it better. But of the last few years, we've even seen it taking up to another level of what we can discuss at the workplace. We can discuss things like mental health, and we can discuss things like substance abuse. And we can discuss, which when I was got out of school and started work in 1990 at young age of 22 years old, you couldn't talk about mental health in the office. You couldn't talk about substance abuse. You couldn't talk about gender identity. You couldn't talk about grief or bereavement. You had 3 days of bereavement leave, but you couldn't talk to anybody and say like, man, I'm really struggling with the loss of my dad. So you've gone through all these things that are now so much ingrained in part of what we can do at the workplace, except for the one taboo topic is still, you can't talk about money. And what that
isn't that does, funny that nobody can talk about their salary or anything else. That's still this sort of not happen. Tell me, and that's all true. So the workplace piece has gotten better, but we now know, number one, corporate loyalty, to the extent there ever was, and he ended in the 1980s. With the great 55 and the layoffs and early retirement and that whole thing. I know that so well because the company I was working for at the time had it, and my dad was one of the people who took an early retirement. So that ended there. Okay, so you know the drill. What is it that made you realize, oh, I got to do something else to get financially literate, to understand how money works, take the reins of my own responsibility and not depend on, you know, contributions of 401k and all the rest of the crap that says, I have to learn and do this. What happened to make you learn that?
It was not an epiphany overnight. It was a series of realizations. So for me, I'd always focused on the career. Career was key for me. I originally started out trying to be the smartest one there was. After that, I quickly realized that like there's always going to be somebody smarter. You know, you can never be the smartest one. If you are the smartest one in the room, you're probably in too small a room. So there's going to be always somebody smarter than you. Then I pivoted into like, I wanted to be the best leader and I want to really grow in my career that way. But it was always career focused. And then as time went on, some things happened that caused me to look at the finances and really have some stark realizations. When I got divorced, I bought my ex-wife out of the house that we were living in, but I had cash flow issues that were so bad. I remember vividly going out to happy hour with some friends from the office and doing the mental math in my head to see if I could afford a second beer before I ran out of money. And I will admit, I don't admit this to many, but I'll admit it to you in your show here. I was living at that time with a lot more furniture created out of milk crates than anyone who's not in college should have. So we had some tough financial times there. And you continue. But even then, when I moved to LA and started working for a large defense company there, I was like, oh, I talked to a financial advisor and abdicated everything. Like, I'm good at making money. You take over the dealing with it. Well, that was just a horrible, horrible mistake. So it's this gradual realization over time. But here's this one thing I want to highlight. It's not the employee's fault. It's the system. The system we can, and this is one of the things we'll talk about over, you know, as we go through this session here, but we have promulgated this myth of retirement that you divide your life into two parts. You divide your life into the working part and then the part after that. And in the working part, what do? You're supposed to hoard money, give it to a financial advisor, who'll put it in mutual funds, which are most likely going to be target date index funds and don't look at it. You know, you're going to be dollar cost averaging. You just don't even look at it. That creates an abdication mindset. You're abdicating the responsibility for that. Then switch to the point where you retire. So now what do? You start looking at that and you realize that you're playing a morbid race where you have to hope that you die before that money runs out. So it's a weird system we built regarding retirement. And that's why so many people fall prey to it, because they're told to abdicate the responsibility and just plug away a certain amount of money in a 401k. But is it even the right investment for them? Is it enough?
Those are fabulous questions. And I want to hone in on the word abdicate for a moment. And in this episode, we're talking a lot about financial stuff, but that mindset of abdication is why I use the words for my swamp, learned helplessness, because we get in the idea that we really can't do anything about it anyway. Learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, victim mindset. And that's true even if you have a high-ranking position. I mean, you said you're the CEO of a company, and it's like, ooh, CEO. It doesn't really matter. It's the same machinery. And so somehow along the way, gradually, you realized you needed to get a lot more interested in what happened instead of just following the script.
Exactly. Like I said, it was a slow process to continually look at things. But I would ask my financial advisor, like, hey, I'm running numbers, because I'm you know, not to brag.
You're an engineer.
I'm an engineer. I'm good at math, right? I'm building spreadsheets. I'm looking at different things. I'm looking at, you know, different assumptions. And he's like, you're fine. You got millions of dollars. You'll be fine. So but I was like, well, but what about this? And what about that? And what if I want to do this? So I realized that there's no one who's going to take responsibility for this. As a matter of fact, my financial advisor was older than me. So I'm thinking I'll probably outlive him. So if at the end, you know, later, if I'm like getting upset about something, I'm not going to be able to call him up. He'll probably be dead. So I need to take responsibility for this myself. And that's where I started looking at perhaps there's other tools than just a standard, very, very limited offerings that you get from your company.
So you have mentioned two principles, and that I want to just emphasize them in the general sense. One is don't abdicate anything, because it's your life and nobody actually cares. And principle number two is no one is coming. Okay. There's no cavalry. Nobody's coming. And if you want to have anything in your life, and in this case, money, so you have to take responsibility for yourself. So you did that.
And you're exactly right. Let me just throw this out there. I read this really great book that a friend of mine told me to get. and when you look at that, there's so much in there that is, by the way, great work, Living with Purpose and Power. That power is the opposite of abdication. You're taking control. You're controlling what you feel. You're controlling whether you live in the moment or not. You're controlling whether you're going to accept mediocrity, which you're not. You're controlling whether you're going to be optimistic and believe that there's a solution. All these things are the opposite of abdication. And that's what I think we're all talking about here in terms of like what those of us that have seen the light, for lack of a better term, are trying to share with others that are maybe approaching it or getting ready to see it or able to make that open their eyes and see at this point.
Now, before we talk about some specifics, and we'll have a little bit of time to talk about some financial things that you might teach, I want to talk about something that you said, seen the light. And what I know from now years doing this business and writing a bunch of books and helping people do that is this. Every person that overcomes some obstacle that's significant, you got divorced, you had to live on milk crates and, you know, sleep on the floor and eat dog food. I don't know. Whatever it was, you went through that experience. And everybody that's listening, you all have had it. Betrayal, financial stuff, illness, somebody died, a whole bunch of bad things happened, whatever it is. When we, that kind of stuff either ruins us or refines us. When we choose to grow, at the same time, there seems always to arise within us a desire to help, a desire to serve. And you've said that already, and I want to ask you, now you figured it out for yourself. Okay, you got the steering wheel. You're doing good with your own dough. You got it handled. Why is it that you care? Like, what happened for you gradually or otherwise that made it important for you to help others learn this and take control and do that?
That's a great question. I don't think there's any one thing that changed. All throughout my life, I've always gotten a big kick out of the validation I feel from being able to share something, excuse me, with others or teach something to others. I loved early in my career when I was explaining things. So I started out working as an engineer in defense, looking at some really complex data from missiles. We'd shoot a missile at a target and we get all this telemetry data back, all the inside workings of what's going on in the mind of the missile as it's doing things. And I was really good at that. I was a really, really good analyst because the systems had radars and kinematics and control systems and warheads and all that. I was actually really good at that. And I got a certain amount of joy figuring out what went wrong or what went right, but I got 10x that when I would be able to explain it to someone else, because that would then help the general figure out what he should do with the program or help the test community know that, like, hey, don't take this shot because this will fail, or do take this shot because it's a tough shot, but the missile will succeed. Those are the types of things that I just got 10x the kick out of figuring out for myself, as I did 10x being able to share it with others more than just figuring it out for myself. And that, Kellen, that mindset just continues to this day. I tell everybody at my company, everybody that I meet, if I need to take some time to explain something to you, that's for free. You know, I'd love to do that. And I think that mindset of now trying to share this with more and more people is just a natural extension of that.
It's interesting because, you know, my declaration a minute ago that when we solve a problem, there arises within us as humans the need to, the yearning to help others and serve. You know, we're built to love and serve each other. And with this machine that we've created, we often beat that down. And those of us, you in this particular case, have risen to the challenge to not only handle your own, in this case, finances, but I'm sure this attitude of non-abdication and nobody's coming permeates lots of areas of your life. Is that true, or am I making that up?
It's true in everything. We are responsible for everything. You know, when you realize that you're responsible for everything, may not be the exact circumstance, but how you react to it, which is 10 times more important than what actually happened. That having that mindset is just part of how I go through life now. And no, the concept of like being I was never much of a victim mindset. Every so often you feel like, oh, pity party or whatever. But one of the things I've kind of taught myself recently is when there's a setback, try to find the absolute minimum amount of time that I can be impacted by that setback. So it used to be, and some people actually never get over this. Like they someone breaks up with them and we all probably have that friend like, oh yeah, Susie dumped him and he was never the same afterwards, right?
Right.
Some people never get over it. Some people have wallow in things for years. Some people it takes months or whatever. But for me, I've actually gotten to the point where I try to get myself over it so that I'm able to function, responsible for my actions, responsible for everything in the shortest amount of time as possible. Whether it's like, all right, I'm going to take an afternoon and evening and be super mad and frustrated and like, dang it, this shouldn't have happened. We worked really hard on this deal or whatever it is. And then at the end of that, a couple hours, one evening, whatever, all right, back to work. There's a setback, but that's not the end.
And that back to work phrase, I want to make sure everybody's hearing, it extends to every part of your life. This isn't just about some program that you wrote or thing that you built that didn't work. It is back to creating, because we create our lives moment to moment. And so you struggle. The way I describe it is crap either ruins us or it refines us. And sometimes it ruins us for an hour or a day or a week or a month or a decade until we choose to allow it to refine us. And what you're saying is, I don't like being over here very long. Let's get over to the refine part really quick.
Right.
So what do you do to share with your financial stuff with people? How do you go about adding good to the world with that knowledge and freedom that you're giving to people?
So this concept came about last summer. I was doing consulting for some for some different companies. I'd stepped down as CEO of one company. I was doing some strategic advising for others, and some good friends of mine were talking to me about, Matt, you should just be a coach all the time. You should just advise companies and so forth and be a coach. And I was like, you know, that's not really what I am excited about doing. I love sharing and so forth, but I also like being in the action. I like being the guy who's responsible for the, whether it's a CEO or a CTO or the senior vice president, or whatever the, you know, I've had all those types of roles over the last several years. I want to be the guy, you know, in airplane terms, fighter pilot terms, with the stick, right? I want to take the stick on things. And that's, and instead of like being an, you know, entrepreneur, like they were trying to push me into, you can start your own company and do coaching. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. And as I even said, like, I want to be in the game. I'm really, all my career has been as a W-2 employee, and I'm actually really, really good at that. I'm almost like an antipreneur is the term I came up with. And then we were all kind of spitballing things, and I was like, wait a minute, that's it. So that's kind of the name of what we're branding all of this as, this way to help people, is being an antipreneur. And I've got some resources that are coming out on that now. I've got, you know, I'm on social media, and a couple different channels that we can talk about here, but and I'll have a book coming out in the next couple of months also, which is super exciting, on how to be an antipreneur, how to thrive in your career and achieve the financial independence that we all want.
So that sounds like, I want to talk more about the book and what you're, when it's coming out and what people can, maybe you're already sharing excerpts and things. But the way I'm hearing you say antipreneur is go ahead and be the very best employee that you can. But instead of abdicating anything, choose to be the best. Take responsibility for your finances specifically. But that would then by extension mean the way that your work treats you, or you treat your work, and how it integrates with your life and everything else. In other words, you've chosen to make money as a cog in somebody's machine, no matter what level you're at. And the quality and effectiveness and power of your life is still all in your hands. And I'm going to show you how to do that specifically with money, but also by extension, the mindset of taking the stick of your own life, like you've described you like doing with projects. Is that right?
That's 100% right. It's in the book, I lay out some steps to go through. We call it the Kickstart program to get yourself going and being an entrepreneur. And the step one is developing the right mindset. Because if you don't have that foundation, you're going to be building on sand. You know, I want to tell something to the audience just to clear things up. I'm not against entrepreneurs, you know, by any way, shape, or form. Many of my friends are entrepreneurs. We, of course, need entrepreneurs. Every business that I can think of is started by an entrepreneur, of course. So it's not being, opposed to those. It's more of like when you think of like an anti-hero who's like a different version of a hero. That's what an entrepreneur is. So realizes the importance of entrepreneurs, but also realizes that that's not for everybody. You know, the number of businesses that actually succeed, if you're a first time business owner, is stupid low. It's like 18%.
Yeah. Oh, and I thought it was less than that.
No, it's 18%. So, okay. And actually, just a couple quick a fact on that.
Please.
If you're the first time business owner, it's 18%. If you've owned a business before, started a business before, and it failed, but now you've learned everything, so you now know all the, you're not going to make those mistakes again, right? You've learned everything. It goes from 18% all the way up to 20%. And if you've had a successful business before, there's no golden pass anymore. It doesn't even get you at your coin flip. It's still only 30% if you've already had one successful business. So the numbers are really, you know, they're kind of stacked against a lot of people. So that's just not right for many folks.
I love that. And so what you're doing is you're loving entrepreneurs and everything that they do, and you're saying, and the most of you aren't going to do that. And even if you do, you're not going to win. And that isn't dissing them. It's simply stating the statistical facts at 18%, 20, even 30. I mean, if that were the survival rate of an airline flight, we wouldn't fly. So, you know, that there's nothing there. And you're saying, even when you go to work for another company, that's not like, oh dear, I'm a W-2, oh no. That's like, yeah, that's just how you're structured to make money, but you actually still control almost all of the rest of your life and every aspect. And so, yeah, no, I'm not hearing that at all. And thank you for that clarification. So tell us step one, teach us some stuff about entrepreneurism.
So like I mentioned, step one is of course the mindset. The you know, one of the things that we think about is, what is your definition of success? Right? How many people, you know, maybe a good poll for the folks out there is like, how many people really know what success means to them? And they might think of it in terms, they might define it, you know, by like, well, once I get this job. So the things that aren't the right things to think about, like, well, once I get this job, or if I make a certain amount, you know, top line revenue, if I make 100 grand a year or 200 grand a year or 400 grand a year, or pick a number, you know, that's what success is. But really, that's not what success is for you. Those are fleeting things. Instead, think about, what do you want? What do you want your life to be? Do you want to live in the same house that you're in now? Do you want to live in the same state that you're in now? Paint a mental picture of what you really want. And that gives you the clarity on like what that success is. And by the way, once you start painting that mental picture, we all know how NLP and other mental things work, you can start moving yourself into it. So step one, of course, is really, really getting the mindset to define your success. You know, we sometimes define it in terms like ambiguous terms, like, oh, I want to be happy, or I want to have a nice retirement, or I want to have work-life balance, which are just not specific enough. Because how do you know when you're happy? Are you happy enough? Have you met your goal? Well, the other things that we do sometimes, you know, can you check that box? You know, those of us that, you know, want the dopamine hit from checking the boxes, you know, or you define it in the eyes of others. Like, you know, I want to be the best employee I can, or I want to be the best father I can, or I want others to see me as successful. You know, so some people really, their definition is like, well, I just want others to see me as successful. But that's not really your success either. That's defining it through the eyes of someone else. And you can, by the way, you can never control what they see or what they feel. So you could never be guaranteed of achieving that, right? If I want to be a success in somebody's eyes, they just might not see it that way. But that doesn't mean you're not successful. So
I'm going to throw something out and I want you to react to it. I'm going to go so far as to say my opinion, my thought about that is, I don't care how much money you set as your goal. I don't care what you set as a goal that's supposed to be, like, I need to have this kind of house, this kind of car, or this kind of thing. I'm going to promise you right now that none of that will make you happy, that you'll get to that place and you'll say, so what? And you'll say, I thought this would make me feel better, be happy, validate my whatever it is. And I can promise you here and now, that isn't it, and it won't work ever. Not sometimes.
100%.
What do you think about that?
100%. Especially if you're driven and goal-oriented. So when we are very driven, very goal-oriented, if whatever we succeed at, what's next? That's what we're looking for. What's next? What's the next thing I'm going to tackle? What's the next thing I'm going to accomplish? Somebody was, I realized this about myself, and I was talking to somebody about it, and they were like, I think you're wired weird, Matt. And because we were at like a celebration party for something. I mean, we'd had this big accomplishment, and it was a celebration party, and I was not really all that excited about it. I was mostly kind of just wanting to get through the party, and I like, you know, like people, I like partying and so forth, but I was just kind of wanting to get through it because it seemed like almost like a distraction for me. And the reason I think I'm wired weird is, but like for me, the most excited I get about something is when I know I'm about to win or about to achieve that goal, and I haven't quite got it yet, but it's basically all I need to do is run out the clock, or that's the pinnacle of excitement, to know that you've achieved it. After that, I dramatically start to lose interest. And that's what happens with things. It's like, so if your goal is to get the 3,000 square foot house or whatever, You get that, it's going to be really cool for a little bit, and you'll dramatically lose interest, no matter what the goal is. So if you're especially financial based or revenue based or possession based, it'll 100% never be enough.
So let's dive into that a little bit, because this mindset thing actually controls everything in your life. And every episode of both this show, Your Ultimate Life, here on LA Talk Radio, and my podcast, I'm almost episode 1,000. I recorded episode 989 the other day.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Your ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy certainly includes cash and having a roof over your head and everything else. But the choice to be happy is a choice. I can be happy when I make 50K. I can be happy when I make 100. I can be happy when I can make 200 or 500. And I can also be miserable at any of those income levels or whatever cars in the driveway. Because here's a phrase maybe to write down, all of you. That is, you can never get enough of what you don't need, because what you don't need won't satisfy you. So how do you help me if I come to you and I hear you talk and I'm like, yeah. So how do you help me get started with creating the specifics? Because I notice the same thing. Yes, people, coach, ask them all the time, what do you want? That is so hard for people to answer. They don't have a flipping clue. So how do you get me to start creating the mindset of, you know, that deals with no one is coming and my happiness is in my hand and the entrepreneur work? How do you help me get started on that?
So first of all, I can help you, but I can't do it for you. You know, you have to want this. And I think that's really important, is that you don't have to define success. You don't have to realize that your career and your job are two separate things, which, by the way, that's one of the big mix-ups that many people have, is they become defined by their job. I'm the senior director of XYZ. And what happens is that if they lose their job, they get downsized, the company goes under, whatever. You've defined your identity to being a senior director at XYZ Corporation. Well, now if that no longer occurs, you've taken a big blow to your identity. Instead, think about it as your career. My career is I solve difficult technical problems and lead great teams to implement those solutions, or whatever it is. That's kind of like some aspect of what I do. But you think about what you actually do. What is your career? I enable people to be the best versions of themselves by helping them to get clarity on what that best version looks like. Whatever it is, you need to get to that point of defining your career, which is independent of the current job that you have, versus the job which is perishable, right? So don't define it like that. So basically, it's to get people to start going down this road together and start asking themselves the difficult questions on this, and to think through, is that really true? And is this something that you think is going to be true today? Do you think this is going to be enduring? Is this kind of like based on where you see the world now? The other thing, as we start going down this road, is one of the things I've seen with people is they're hung up on the concept of wealth and financial independence, right? They somehow think that maybe they don't deserve it, or is something wrong with it, or that involves being unethical. All those things are, of course, blatantly false. But some people are stuck on that. They can't visualize in their mind the fact that not only can they be financially independent, but they deserve to be, right? They deserve to be as much as anybody else out there, somebody who is or isn't. We all deserve that ability to be financially independent. So those are some of the mindset things I think I've seen people wrestle with and help people with. One of my clients was wrestling with that. He continually was almost like feeling, whether a combination of religious or other intrinsic beliefs or dogma, was like, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if I need that. Do I need to really be that? You know, I was like, should I even, is it okay to even want that?
I love that question. And I want to say fiercely, the most powerful words in the language are not "I love you" or any of that stuff. The most powerful words in the language are these: because I said so. And that is the ultimate sovereign declaration. Do you need it? I don't know. Do you need it? Whose standard are you measuring it on? Like, who gets to decide who you are? The ultimate decision about who you are is in your hands, and most people don't want to play with that lever because they're scared to death of it. When someone says to you, who are you? And you can argue with me if you want. The answer better start with I am, and it better not have anything to do with roles like president of this or that. It is a choice and a declaration that you make about how you walk through the world in every conversation, in every moment of your life, not stuff you go do to either earn money or to do whatever. That's who you are. And when you get those kind of things, you decide, because there sure isn't anybody going to do it for you, then you have a bedrock from which to measure success and all the rest of the stuff. What do you think about that?
No, that's absolutely spot on. And I will, you know, say, I will double down on the fact that in your book, that it goes into that in great detail and why that is, and how important the declarative I am statements are. Absolutely. You need to think about what you are at the end of the day, which is not your job, not your possessions. Those all can go away. How you carry yourself, how you present you are, and how you interact with others. Those are the things that are going to leave a mark. You know, there's probably. So my mom is kind of getting up there in years, and she's starting to have some mental issues. She doesn't exactly know who I work for anymore. And she doesn't, she knows I've been successful. She knows I've been, several, C-suite positions and so forth. She doesn't exactly know who I'm working for, or what that company's exactly doing. She might get it mixed up a little bit. Are you with that self-driving car company? No, mom, that was like three companies ago, but she knows if I'm being a good person. She knows if I'm being loving to others. She knows if I'm being present or not when I come visit. Those are the things that matter.
We come into this world with nothing. And when we leave, we're going to leave with nothing. The only thing we're going to take back with us is what we've made out of ourselves. That's it. And standing there making excuses about how much money I made or anything else, like, there's going to be nothing to say. Who we are, who we have become, is going to be blindingly obvious to whatever structure there is later. I mean, that's who we are. It'll be writ large all over our being and energy and character. So I want to go now to talking about the book that you have, timing of things. So I want you to have all the time to explain how you're bringing this to the world, what it's going to look like, when we can have these things, because I love what you're saying. I obviously agree with you, but I want you to tell us more.
Absolutely. So some of the details, the book will be coming out like late June, early July, probably in an ebook first, and then with a paperback soon to follow. And the paperback, I'm still working with some printers on getting this just right. But what I'm envisioning is something about like maybe 4x6 small that you can carry around with you. That's going to be, it's almost like a 80, 90 page booklet that you can carry around with you, that you can always like, what was that Kickstart plan number two? Oh, let me just take a quick look-see. As opposed to, I don't know if you can see back here. I've got a lot of books on my shelf. That's actually real, by the way. That's not a facade, but that's actually a real, those are all real. And I read a lot of books, but not a lot of people do. And there are, I'll admit there's a few books that I have on there that I'm probably not going to get to because it's pretty big and it's interesting and I'd love to read it, but I'm just bandwidth limited. Yeah. But this will be short enough that you can get through it in a pretty quick amount of time. It's got some great fables in there, a great fable in there that helps illustrate things as well. It's got the Kickstart plan. It's got a quiz on like, should you be an entrepreneur or an antipreneur? It's going to be super, super exciting. So late June, early July, and you can get all the details on when that's going to be released. We've got a quick little demo, a quick little landing page we built If you go to anti-preneur.com, so anti-preneur.com, you can sign up there. Just quick, it's like takes 5 seconds, 10 seconds, name, things like name and email, or name, email, and phone, stuff like that. And what we're going to be able to do is then let you know that, okay, on this date, it's going to be available. And this is how you can get it. You can get it at Amazon here. Or here's the link. And I'll be able to share that with everybody. So and that's all free, of course. There's no, I'm not going to, don't charge you for signing up for all the advanced notices and so forth. And then as we get a little bit closer also, I'm going to probably, because I can't help myself, I'm probably going to be putting in there a little bit of like insights on, hey, here's what we're going to cover. And by the way, here's a sneak peek at like chapter 4. And just to really get people excited about it. And actually, it probably doesn't matter whether people get excited about it. I'm so freaking excited about it. I'm going to probably just do that anyway. My publicist people are probably not so happy about me. Matt, why are you giving away this? I was like, hey, because I'm excited. I want people to get it. So that'll be coming up. So sign up at anti-preneur, preneur.com, and get on the list, and I'll be able to send you insights on like when it's going to be available and so forth. But right now we're targeting having it being available probably like late June, like the 26th, 27th, something like that.
So we're literally just a month away from having this. Well, I'm excited about it because I've had the chance to hear you speak about it, about how to decide those things like entrepreneur, antipreneur. And we've made so much of entrepreneurism in the conversation in the public square these days that it almost feels like that's some good thing. And we need zillions of people working in and parts of structures that are way bigger, that were somebody's brainchild somewhere 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago. And now they've grown into something. And we need that. And we need the same drive and creativity. And what occurs to me is if I'm working in a company and I love the company, what they're doing and stuff, I'm not talking about working for a company you hate or anything like that. But if you're aligned with what they're doing and then you take control of your own finances and you realize that attitude is for everything, your life is fabulous. And the fact that you have somebody else signing your paychecks has got nothing to do with anything.
Exactly. 100%. There's so much noise out there on social media right now, and it's gotten even worse since COVID. But whether you look at like Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn, there's so many things out there that talk about how you can be an entrepreneur, quit your day job. Why would you want to work for somebody else? You can't get rich working for somebody else, which is, by the way, blatantly not true. Whether it's Tim Cook of Apple, Mary Barra of General Motors, those are both people in industry that work for somebody else. In the entertainment industry, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson works for somebody else. Tom Cruise works for somebody else. And in sports, like Tom Brady made a lot more money on the field than he made off the field while he was a player. So you can absolutely, make money and be very, very wealthy as a W-2 employee. So getting that message out there for people, with the right mindset that like, yeah, you're not a slave to this. Your career is something that you own, but getting that out there for people is super exciting. And that's one of the things that gets me out of bed in the morning.
Well, I love it. And your excitement is both contagious and palpable. What has to happen? Because most people that had worked for a company. So let's say somebody hears this and they're working for a company. They don't particularly like the job. They haven't really thought about career, the separation of career and job in terms of who they are and how they want to walk to the world through the world. What are they going to do right now? Should they go start looking for a more aligned job? Not necessarily thinking about, besides get your book and take the anti and entrepreneur test and all the rest. Do that, like looking for another job or taking and seizing control. A lot of times people feel like they need permission to do that because we aren't taught and brought up that way. So can you give everybody permission right now?
100%. You absolutely, as of 4:46 Pacific time today, you have permission to own your career. That I, as Dr. Matt Margle, I bestow that on all, that you now have permission to own your career. Now, obviously you don't need me to say that. You can own your career at any point, but yes, you have permission, and And here's the thing. It might be that staying is the right thing for you, but doubling down and really giving your best at work, making the most out of every opportunity that you get, you know, never passing up the opportunity to be kind or lift someone else up, you know, and then when the big pivot opportunities arise, be ready to take those, whether it's a new job within your company or an opportunity to get some additional training. One of the best things I did was I went back while I was working to get my PhD. It opened a lot of doors for me. That was worked well for me. It might not work well for everybody, but it's and it was really, it was a grind during that time when I was working and going back to school also. But that was one of the things that I decided to do to further my career because I owned it.
You said something that I just want to repeat because it's so important, and you said it quickly. Do the best job you can at work, lean in, and then you said, decide to be kind, decide to be helpful. It's not about hoarding stuff for you. Decide to be a person of light and love and helping. And what I know from what you said is if you do that, that will prepare you to have the courage and power to take the pivot opportunities because you've decided to be that kind of a person. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. We might be having a little bandwidth issue here on the call, I think, but it's absolutely. It's your life. It's your career. You own that. No one has to give you permission to own that. That's yours. So the only thing that stands in the way is your realization that, oh, it is my life. I can decide to get this training or take this job or stay in this job, but double down on it or talk to my manager or VP or whatever and say like, hey, I love this company. I love what we're doing here. I want more. I want to go all in. I want to elevate me so that I can be better at helping us achieve our shared goals. You know, just like the Wizard of Oz at the end, she could always go home. Remember that? That's
right.
You know,
right. Interesting.
That movie is coming up on 100 years. It's going to be 100 years old relatively soon. It's amazing how old that the Wizard of Oz is, but it's. But yeah, she could go home at any time, just like your career. You can take charge of it at any time. It's your career.
So hold that thought. So Matt, I want to make sure we're coming up on the end here, but I want to make sure everybody knows how every possible way that they want to be able to find you, to hear more. I know you said antipreneur.com, but is there anything else you want to tell people to look at, look for, so they can keep track of you, hear more of your wisdom and all that stuff?
Absolutely. So you can go to mattmarkle.com. But the way to get a lot of material that I'm putting out there right now is our business Facebook page, facebook.com/Dr. Matt Markle, DrMattMarkel. So facebook.com/Dr. Matt Markle. I put out a ton of insight and information on that. I think we just broke 25 or 26,000 followers, something like that on there. So getting up there, you know, for something that we've had going for a couple months, and it's, seems to really be resonating with people. And it's cheesy videos that I make that look a lot like this with interesting insights. And, I try to provide things that are timely and timely yet enduring. And it's been a lot of fun for me. And I think that I've gotten nothing but a lot of really, really positive feedback from actually, Kellen, from people across the globe on this. So
I love it. So I want to encourage all of you, DrMattMarkle.com. Not .com. Dr. Matt Markle Facebook page. Go there because if he's pouring that kind of good stuff out there and he's already built 25,000 followers in just a short period of time, then you already know he's got good stuff going. So go there. Matt, I want to thank you for being here and sharing your heart, your excitement, and everything you've got with us.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. This is, like I was mentioning earlier, this has been the highlight of my day. I've been looking forward to this all day. I had a lot of meetings to go through. No, it wasn't the gym. Gym wasn't the highlight. A bunch of good meetings that we had at my business. None of those were. I've been looking forward to this because I'm just such a huge fan of you and listening to this show. I'm a fan. I'm now a big fan of the show also. Your listeners are wonderful. The audience is wonderful. And I hope that this really adds some value to people today. There's a lot of good stuff that we're talking about here that's directly in line with what you preach all the time, which is, you know, you are in control. if you wish to take it. And I'm just amplifying that theme with the aspect of career and finances.
Well, thank you. You guys, all of you, I want you to go to his Facebook page. Like, do this. Don't miss that opportunity, because he has tons of experience and really good advice and sharing and real world stuff. And don't worry that he says the videos are cheesy. Go see him anyway and move forward as you create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.